The psychedelic revolution is here. If you want to integrate your visionary experiences into your purpose, get clear on your entrepreneurial path, and help people while you do what you love, then this podcast is for you. Welcome to The Psychedelic Entrepreneur, Medicine for These Times. I'm your host, Beth Weinstein. I'm a spiritual business coach, three-time entrepreneur, and a lifelong student of psychedelics and sacred plant medicines. You carry your own unique medicine, and your medicine is what we need for these times. This podcast will help you to share your medicine so you can create transformation in the world. Listen in on conversations with psychedelic leaders, changemakers, and conscious entrepreneurs who are living proof that a better world is possible when you follow your heart and live in alignment with your soul. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Psychedelic Entrepreneur. I'm Beth Weinstein. I am here with my friend Derek Laudermilk. Hey Derek, thanks for being with us today.
Beth, it's always good to be with you.
So Derek is a good friend of mine who I love dearly. We have been in masterminds together, and he actually really played a part in my business without, I don't know if you even know about this, Derek, but I remember this day where Derek was the one who encouraged me to come out of that psychedelic closet and really go public in the way that I was being called to do. So we'll talk about that a little, but let me tell you a little bit more about Derek. Derek has coached global influencers, leading scientists, cutting-edge entrepreneurs, billionaires, world record athletes, thought leaders, New York Times bestselling authors, and high achievers around the world for more than 15 years. Derek is a former pro cyclist and extreme microbiologist turned professional adventurer, author, and lifestyle entrepreneur. His podcast, The Derek Laudermilk Show, brings people to a high level of understanding of cutting-edge topics in science, spirituality, adventure, and human potential. Derek hosted the top-rated Art of Adventure podcast for 7 years. And Derek, I didn't even know this about you, that you are an extreme microbiologist. I did know that you used to be a pro cyclist, and I do know all about the Art of Adventure, but I would love to hear your story. What got you onto the path of coaching from cyclist, from science, from, you know, all these kind of adventures you've had in your life? I'm curious how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. And I'll just, for people wondering, what is extreme microbiology? I was looking for the beginnings of life. Like how did life come to be? And operating from a scientific mindset, did it arise from a primordial soup of, you know, just molecules that somehow aggregated to become life? And I thought the best way to find that would be to go to Yellowstone National Park, where they have these boiling acid hot springs. It's very similar to what we think the early Earth planet was like. And I was studying viruses in these hot springs and actually discovered the Metallosphera yellowstonensis spherical virus, a brand new virus unrelated to any known organisms. And that was really cool, doing that field work and being on the cutting edge of science, designing new experiments was really awesome. But I could see the writing on the walls in terms of science. Like this type of science, there's no profit in it. It's hard to get funded. You're competing with a lot of people. The job prospects are not good. You're not really helping the world. And so I could see that while it was, you know, a fun endeavor to do this type of exploration, that I needed, if I really wanted to contribute to the world, I needed to broaden my scope. And that's when I became an entrepreneur. My first foray into entrepreneurship was cycling coaching. So I was just teaching young athletes how to go pro. And I had maybe 4 or 5 clients when I moved to Vietnam. I needed $1,000 a month. Essentially, cost of living in Vietnam is about $1,000 a month. 4 clients paying $250 a month, there you go. And it's like an unlimited runway. That was 7 years ago. So I traveled for 6 years and I just settled down because now I have a wife and 2 little kids. but so along the way, it's been this process of the coaching business has evolved many times. Coaching, then coaching podcasters because I started a podcast and people were always asking me. So it's this kind of like responding to the things that I'm good at and what people are asking me about. So then I started coaching online business, how to be a digital nomad, how to take your family and travel, all these things. And since I've been on my own spiritual journey, I've been integrating adventure and science and business and metaphysics all together into a method that I created called the Leap Method.
Cool. That's where we are today. So good. And yeah, so I'm curious, were you a professional cyclist throughout this microbiology job, or like, was that when you were,
I retired from professional cycling. Again, it was one of those things when, first of all, I was very average as a professional cyclist. Like in terms of general population, I was good, but these guys that are racing in the tour, they're so gifted genetically and mentally that I ended up working so hard to be, you know, in the middle or the bottom of the field. So it's cool to say, but you know, I was losing a lot. My career prospects were also not great. But it was a really cool thing to go all in and try to do that and then see like where your limitations are. And so it was an easy thing. Like I still compete, I still race bikes and I love it, but I don't have to make it my career. That's when I went back to grad school.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was raising my hand. I love this because I've always thought there was a correlation between people who got into kind of endurance sports and extreme athletics. Like me, I used to be a marathon and ultra marathon runner. And now I'm just a casual runner and hiker and trail runner. But I'm curious, did your journey into, you know, extreme cycling and this endurance athletics, do you think this has played a part in your business and how you approach life? And then also how it ties into your experiences with psychedelics, if it even does? I don't know.
Yeah, I was talking with a good friend of mine, Nick Wood, and he, another podcast host, he was reflecting some things back to me. And I said, you know, it was a 7-year sort of, took me 7 years to get as fast as I could when I was a runner. And then also 7 years about to get as fast as I could as a cyclist. And so when you're an entrepreneur or you're thinking about a business or a large project or something, most people are operating in short-term thinking like, oh, if I can't do it in a couple of months, then it's probably not meant to be. But when I was in middle school, when I was like 14, I was like, how cool would it be to run a 6-minute mile? If I could do that, I think that would be as fast as I could ever go. And then by the end of high school, I was breaking 5-minute miles. And I was like, how cool would it be to run a 4-minute mile? So then I worked for a few more years and I ran a 4:05.
Oh my God.
But so my concept of what was actually possible as a beginner was so far off base. So I think this long-term thinking, like if you want to do a big, hefty, world-changing project, it's totally possible, but you kind of have to really do this, you know, long-term, consistent type of effort.
Yes. I cannot tell you how many times I repeat the word consistent to my clients. And also to see this as a journey of your lifetime, not as like, okay, 3 months, 6 months, like I need a client, I need money. It's not. It's like you have to see the big picture of everything is exponential growth, right? Like it compounds, everything adds up over time. And the more you put yourself out there and the more you show up consistently, the more you're able to run the 4-minute mile, which, by the way, my jaw dropped because my fastest mile that I had ever run was like just under sub-7. It was like 6:45 and I was coughing up blood from my lungs.
Oh my gosh.
And it was on Fifth Avenue. It was the Fifth Avenue mile.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, you know about that one. But no, I love this. And I'm curious, so because I know you also are on a very similar path of working with psychedelics and you've had your history and you've done the whole festival circuit. And I know you've done the whole spiritual psychedelic circuit as well. I'm curious, you know, can you tell the audience a little bit about your path into how you discovered psychedelics and how you think they actually have played a part in the way you approach life, because, you know, you were an endurance athlete, you still are, you're now, you know, a coach and, you know, really into life optimization and business. And I'm curious, did the psychedelics at all play a part on your life journey, do you think?
Well, I would say my first psychedelic experience was not with a compound. So let's, I mean, if we broadly talk about mm-hmm. non-ordinary states of consciousness, yes. I think then there's an experience. I was adventuring in the jungles of Bali, and I came across this 1,200-year-old tree, which is very special. It's just like the tree in Avatar. It has multiple trunks meeting at, you know, 100 feet up. It's like I have the tree on my computer background right now. It's like such an important tree. Mm. But this gave me my first out-of-body astral projection experience. I touched the tree, and it was like an electric shock. It was like a whole different field, and it transported my consciousness to a different forest in sort of northwest China, Mongolia area. And it's right on the edge of where the Gobi Desert is sort of expanding into the forest. And I got this quest, this mission from this magic tree that was, first it was like, you haven't been spending enough time in nature. Like you used to do this all the time, because I grew up, I was in the woods camping all the time, Boy Scouts. And so the tree was like, first you've kind of lost touch with nature a little bit. So we need you to just go back into nature and reconnect. And then you need to start bringing leaders out into wilderness. Mm. Take them on adventures, let them, realign with nature, with the forest, with the planet, and all of these things, because we're hitting this wall. Our thinking is boxed in because of cubicles and living in boxes and all of these things. So you have to unbox people's thinking. You have to bring them out, shift their neurons. You have to do all these things. And so I had this mission from the tree, and I started my adventure quest business, and was, you know, that's how that started. Was just a magic tree told me to.
Oh my God. I did not know this. I'm like, oh yes. And this podcast is definitely more about non-ordinary states, not about just psychedelic medicines as we know them, because I agree, like some of my most profound experiences growing up that led to, you know, everything else were things that I still cannot explain at this time. You know, I don't know what it was. It's, you know, one of my earliest memories was about, I think, 8 or 9 years old, and it was some sort of an activation. I have no idea what from. I will never fully understand it that I know of. But something had shifted internally at that moment. And I remember it clear as day at such a young age. And, you know, and I wasn't worried about it, but it's like, I just saw the world differently from that point forward. And then, of course, the actual psychedelics came in later on. and then the rest is history. So I'm curious, you know, when you finally went and did, you know, a traditional psychedelic medicine, did it remind you of that state, or did you have some kind of a recognition, or was that just like a completely different experience? Like, what happened when you went to work with psychedelics?
Well, the experience with the tree was short, 20 minutes. Mm. And then, you know, cause I sat in the crook of the tree for 20 minutes and then left. I did a multi-day ayahuasca journey. And this was kind of crazy. You know, I got exactly what I needed at the time, but so I did the experience with my now wife, and I told her on the second day, I was like, in the middle of the ceremony, I was like, I want to have babies with you. And she was like, well, guess what? I'm pregnant. And I was like, no way. Like, I'm glad I told you first.
Oh my God.
And so,
oh my God.
You know, we spent the second part of that journey, like, together, like becoming parents together, like with this recognition. Wow. But it was the single hardest thing I've ever done, was mm-hmm. preparing for fatherhood and in a single night. And basically what that meant was dealing with all the things I was ashamed of about myself and my past and things I had done to hurt people, and just like clearing all that up, which is a lot of work to do in 6 or 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, it was like 8 hours in, and everyone else had sort of processed all, you know, metabolized all the ayahuasca, and they were all, you know, asleep. And it was just me, and I was like still puking, still shaking, still sweating. It was awful. I had to like chew on like a log to make it through. And finally, in my mind, I said, you know, I need some help. Like I can't do this. So the shaman woke up from her sleep, came out, and was like, I heard you in my dream. I came to help you. And she had to extract this like dark tar from my heart, this like sticky demon from my heart. And she said, you know, like, you need room for your children. You need room for these beautiful souls to come in. She also like unlocked my head to some degree. And it was just, you know, like being able to ask for help. I mean, it's so important. You can just ask for help. And I like, for 8 hours, I didn't get that I could just ask for help. And then I did. And, you know, then, and Heidi, my wife, being there with me and going through that together. And then it was like, okay, we're off to the races. Like here we are going to be a family. And so it all worked out just so perfectly, with that first experience. Yeah.
Wow. That's such an intense thing to hear in the middle of an ayahuasca weekend, yeah. Especially in the middle of a ceremony, like, holy shit. But no, that's beautiful. And you have such a beautiful family. And yes, actually, it's really interesting. I've written about this as well, where, you know, we go in there with this attitude of like, oh, I've done this before. I've done all these crazy adventures. I can handle anything. I've run, you know, ultra marathons or traveled the world. I can sit in a 5-hour ceremony and be okay. And then you're not. And then you ask for help. And this is the same thing with life. This is the same thing with business. You know, it's like, Derek and I were in a mastermind together. It's like we both knew at some point, in order to get to the next level, we had to learn what we didn't know. We needed that support. And this, I believe, is so important, especially during these times that we're in life and the world, and how things are just getting more and more intense and the energies are shifting. And these are the times where support is needed. And speaking of support, so Derek, tell people a little bit about what it is that your coaching looks like now. And then I have some questions about certain things that I know you do with your clients that, you know, I'm sure would help this audience who are, you know, entrepreneurs as well. So yeah, tell people what you're up to with your current clients and business.
Yeah. I'm running a mastermind. This will be the third year we've done it. And it's largely spiritual thought leaders who are coming, and you know, we're working very much with 3D topics and 5D topics. Like, a lot of people, you know, they don't have an MBA, but you need a lot of these fundamentals of just operating and running a business, understanding psychology and peak performance. Like, I'm bringing in the stuff from sports, like, how do you optimize your own energy levels, right? How do you like consistently be a high producer and all of these things. But then, you know, really, I'm doing my own investigation of magic, of non-ordinary states of reality, and how can we use these techniques? Like, can you train yourself to be more lucky? Can you train yourself to be able to predict the future? Can you train yourself to find the business partnership exactly when you need it? Like, can you bring customers in whenever you want? And these things, right, there's your 3D methods. Like, you got to have a landing page, you got to have a website, all these things. But then there's also the 5D things, right? You need to harness a proper emotion. You need to have expectation and all of these things, and understanding how quantum physics works, and understanding, you know, how the subconscious mind influences reality, and all these things. It's all important in order to move forward, right? You're in a current timeline situation, and you're essentially creating a future timeline that you're going to hop into. So that is full of all the like actual physical things, like the money and the business and the colleagues and the clients and all that stuff. So I'm weaving this all together through this method that I've created. And it's really fun because it's in some ways an experiment. You know, I'm testing, trying to bring these magical practices to business, and they are working fantastically well.
Yes, and we're going to hear about that in a second. So it's funny that you mentioned the timeline and the future. I'm constantly saying this to my clients as well, where, you know, I, through the work of mostly Dr. Joe Dispenza and obviously meditation, manifestation that I've been studying for many, many years, I have come to live from that, you know, the timeline in the future, meaning I do create my business, my reality, pretty much everything in my life from this place that's out there, that's this part of myself that I haven't met yet, or it's already existing out there in the field. I just need to now catch up with it. So I'm constantly saying, if you make decisions or if you run your business from your future self out in this other timeline versus your current self that's like maybe feeling stuck or maybe not clear or in fear or whatever it is, doubts, limiting beliefs. But if you're working from this future self, it actually pulls you there a lot quicker. You know, it's like it's a shift in mindset. It's a shift in perception. And it's, you know, like this is the manifestation. So, well, Derek,
let me blow your mind actually really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
About time. Because there's
Exist.
Dean Radin did this experiment where he was trying to find, if people could psychically affect a curveball, like a pitcher throwing a curveball and make it move the way they wanted. But he ended up creating a computer mathematical simulation of a curveball, like the ball moving through space. And he found that people could manipulate the ball. But he also discovered that it was the result, the end result was influencing backwards through time the things that led to the result. So while you're talking about living from the future, he proved mathematically that the future is influencing the present in order to lead to that future outcome. And that just totally blew me away.
Yep.
You think you're intending it here, but maybe it's your future self intending the road to get there.
Yeah. This is what I've always thought, is that it's kind of this co-creation. I mean, it's like, especially those of us who've worked with a lot of psychedelics, I shouldn't speak for everybody, but I have definitely been shown the understanding that time is just one, right? It's just always in the present. Like there is no, technically no future and no past. It just is, right? This is the whole idea. And I've actually been shown this in a vision where I was like, oh, now I can understand it so clearly. It's just like here, and you can pull everything to you, you know? And it's like, that affects this affects that, because there is no like actual time. It just is. So if you change your whole relationship with how you approach this or how you approach time in general, which I always say, look, like it's all about, you know, seeing time differently and owning time and not letting time enslave you as a prisoner. And then you can actually work with it in a more powerful way to then, you know, like you said, like, hey, like maybe it is just your future is just like, oh, okay, here, this is actually predetermined and you're just being pulled that direction. Or I already know this is happening and now it's just your current self is catching up, or however we want to see it. But Derek, tell us a little bit about your super cool techniques that you teach to some of your clients. And what is it, the LEAP method, or?
That's the overall coaching style that I've developed, and that's still continuing to be improved and updated. But the you know, one of the cool things I want to talk about, because people can take this and go play with it themselves, is this unified field manifestation technique that we developed and tested and basically proved that it works 100% of the time in our business mastermind. And this was adapted from the work of Lynn McTaggart, who's a colleague of Joe Dispenza.
So
she's done a lot of this research into healing, physical ailments and things like that. But she found groups of about 8 people. You know, they can form a circle and intend for one receiver to be healed of, you know, whatever, a skin rash or cancer or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they have great success with healing the receiver, but they have even better success healing the intenders, the people who are actually sending the intention. So there's a sort of double rebound effect. This you know, the law of reciprocity, there's more coming back to the senders than the receiver. And I thought, oh, you know, that's super cool. let's see if we can harness that for business, because I train entrepreneurs. So the key to this is having a very clear description of what you're intending. So we spend a lot of time, maybe half an hour even, like say we get 8 people in a group together and we're going to do one of these. A lot of times, you know, we'll have people put their hand up. Who wants to be the receiver today? What is it that you want to intend? What, you know, if we're all going to intend for this future for you, like we all want to be able to do it as best we can. So we get very clear on what it is that we're intending to happen. And partly that's kind of like interviewing someone, like, what does it mean if you do a 7-figure launch? Like, what does that mean for you? How does it feel? Is there a specific moment that we can all sort of, talking about time, right? Is it when, you know, when you see like the 7 figures roll into your bank account, or is it when you do your first session with your group, or is it when you, you know, whatever it is, there's a specific moment when you feel like, wow, I achieved this thing, where you can sort of, you know, you're at the finish line, right? So we usually go to that moment, and that's where the emotions are strongest. And I call this emotional sailing. Like you use the strong emotions to help propel the timeline. So once you have a clear, and you can, once you have a clear way of saying, our intention is for Beth to have a 7-figure launch, and she, you know, she'll be celebrating with a sailing trip around the Mediterranean or whatever, right? So whatever it is, and we all understand what we're doing, and then we sort of we do a little warm up with now I'm trying to remember the name. It's basically that the loving kindness meditation. We sort of bring us into that state, and then we spend just 10 to 12 minutes doing the actual intending. And usually, what happens is that as soon as I say, okay, go, it changes everyone's states immediately. It feels like you're jumping into a river of light. You're all jumping in together, and everyone can feel it. It's like whoosh, the whole group becomes unified with a single intent, a single consciousness, and it makes everyone cry, get goosebumps, all these things. And a lot of times everyone is getting visions, like they can see this thing happening, but they're also getting information of like, who is part of this? You know, who are the customers? Who are the clients? Are there angels involved? Like, are there people's higher selves or dead relatives getting involved? Are there specific clothing that you're wearing the day that you finish the launch? You know, it's like we're accessing this, you know, vision of the future. And so afterwards, everybody shares their experience. And we can say like, you know, I saw you on the top of this mountain and you had this group and it seems like you need to be working just with women, you know, and they're like, yes, that's like, I'm going to, you know, do that. And so a lot of times we're able to give this type of feedback and information to the receiver as well. And so the results were amazing. It was usually within a few weeks, the exact thing came true, because some of these things are longer time horizons, some are much shorter. But even to the point of like, I need to find my life romantic partner because that's taking too much of my attention and away from my business. So if I can get that out of the way, then I can focus on my next thing. And that, you know, the man shows up and they were off to the races. So, you know, just really fantastic results.
How did you come up with this? Was this just something you started doing for yourself and then kind of were like, oh, let me try this with my clients?
Well, this is, you know, so one thing that I do on my own podcast is I'm still a scientist. I'm still an experimenter. So I'm going to, I've tested maybe 30, 40 different healing techniques, 30 or 40 different magical techniques. And I want to see what I can actually teach people to do. You know, what can I, so can I, you know, should we be using hypnosis? Should we be using tuning forks? Oh. Should we be using crystals? I don't know. Let's actually test it and have a repeatable training system. Because I'm all about, I want to be able to train you to do this easily. So that's what I'm interested in doing. If it's something I can, you know, repeat, observe, have results, test, all these things, that's what I'm interested in.
Oh my God. That's so cool. Wait, is this what the science of magic is?
Yeah. So I think I've just sort of come to this realization, but magic is essentially, it's been, you know, put aside, but let's just say it's just an unknown part of how the universe works, right? It's just a misunderstood part. And so I want to normalize the use of magic in business in our daily lives. And partly we just have to understand what the phenomena are. You know, how does, if you can move objects with your mind, well, there's some fundamental part of the universe that's making that possible. There's some fundamental law that's leading to that. You know, so we have to understand quantum physics. We have to understand the different dimensions. We have to understand all of these things in order to get closer to like actually using it for our own development.
This is, it's so fascinating because I'm very similar to you. This is why me and Derek get along so well. I've always brought in the energetics into my business coaching programs because I always say there's only so far that these like tangible, you know, like strategic, you know, what I would kind of call the masculine energetics of business. There's only so far those can work or those so far they can go if you don't have this other piece, like the magic, the mindset, the belief, the understanding, the heart connection, the emotional connection, the, you know, your voice, how you show up in the world, the consistency, like all these other pieces that take seeing things differently. You know, I work with a lot of newer entrepreneurs who come to me very scared, really stuck, no clarity, kind of like blank slate, like, okay, I'm doing this. And it becomes this very deep, like initiatory process of stepping into your deeper purpose. I mean, you know, we all went through this on some level as we made that shift into coaching or, you know, maybe even shifted our business, like within our business. Like when I started speaking about psychedelics, Derek witnessed me in this crazy initiation of like fear and doubts and limiting beliefs, but then, you know, stepped through it. So I'm curious, what is your belief on how much of business and entrepreneurship and success and even optimization of life, how much of it is the tangible, like earth plane marketing or writing or, you know, like strategies versus the magic and the manifestation and the mindset? Like how much do you say, like, or how much weight would you put on either? Especially if that there's maybe a lot of newer entrepreneurs listening to this that are like, really doubtful.
Yeah. So if you're creating a business, it's still a three-dimensional physical structure, right? You're delivering a product or service to people that have bodies and you're using money largely as an exchange, right? So these are all very tangible, solid things. And so in order to create that, like you are taking an idea and like making it solid. So you have to have the building blocks, right? You have to understand how humans buy things, right? So there's people buy things because they want to, there's emotions, there's how we communicate and how people get excited about wanting to buy something. That's all very like human based. So you're understanding human psychology and evolution and all social cues and all of these things. But the business you came up with in the first place, the idea, the finding the people, the luck, the synchronicities that lead you to all the things, that all has to happen too. So it's like, you know, you have to make all the pieces possible. So you can get pretty far, obviously, just putting the 3D pieces together, but why not just make it really easy for yourself by mastering the non-physical and the non-ordinary as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm curious, have you noticed, because I've noticed this and, you know, occasionally I'll ask other people, have you noticed over the last few years, I don't know, I mean, for me, I really started noticing it like 4, 5, 6 years ago, but it seems to be a lot more noticeable as time moves on. But have you noticed how the energetics and the manifestations and the synchronicities are so much, I don't know what the right word is, like stronger or faster or more noticeable the last couple of years? Have you noticed that as well, or is that just me? Or maybe it's all the psychedelics I do.
Yeah, and it could be, right, more and more of us individually are practicing this, and it so it makes the whole sort of what's called the Earth human sphere makes all that stuff work more easily because there's less resistance to it. Could be you're just getting more practice. You're getting out of your own way more. I don't know. But I've also noticed. So I started saying to myself, I'm gonna be the weirdo among my friends and teammates and things like that. So when people want to explore something, they feel safe with me because I've already put myself out there. I'm talking about aliens, talking about psychedelics, talking about non-ordinary reality. So now almost every time I go out, somebody pulls me aside and they're like, hey, you want to talk about UFOs? Like, you want to talk about psychedelics? And I'm like, I love it. But it's showing me that all these people are really wondering if they can find something for themselves in thinking differently.
I love that you bring this up because this comes up so much with my clients who are stepping into this new realm of business entrepreneurship, most of them becoming coaches and healers, and a lot of them working in, you know, bridging in psychedelics or bringing in, you know, pieces of psychedelics into their work. And people are still scared to talk about it. And I get it because Derek witnessed me scared for a few years, but I keep saying more and more people are getting curious or waking up or reading more or learning more or hearing more about this. And if you are that person that's already starting to speak about it and share your truth and your voice, what it's going to do is, you know, it's going to attract the people that resonate and then attract the curious people that want to talk to you a little bit more about it. And that's where these doors open. And now I'm curious, Derek, do you find that your clients also go through this feeling of like, okay, I really want to start talking about psychedelics or aliens or, you know, things that are just, or even just like spiritual self. But do they go through this as well where they feel that fear or like, what will people think or how will this be received? Does this happen to your clients as well?
Sure. Yeah. And some of them get really stuck, you know, they, if they've been in this world for decades, right, they still have one foot in caring about what. So I deal with this in my own life, but it's this symptom of people that are living in a thought process from the past. So a religious indoctrination, a materialism, scientific indoctrination, whatever it might be. And like my family, my grandfather, super religious, my dad, super scientific, concrete materialist. And so if I can talk about this stuff that I'm learning with them and they're able to listen and, you know, that's sort of my proving ground. But a lot of people, yeah, they get stuck because they get to this edge and they think they might lose a key relationship if they are themselves. And that's terrible, right? Like, so people are withholding who they really are. It's like coming out of the closet about, you know, being gay, but it's coming out of the closet about being a free thinker or whatever it might be, you know, coming out of the closet is always scary. You know, I'm getting goosebumps as we talk about it because that's when you have to be brave. Like that's when you choose to be uncomfortable and knowing like, and again, you think bigger, like if I make this decision, if I go down this path, and I'm open about who I am and how I think and my work and all these things. What does this mean for the world? What does this mean for generations to come? What does it mean for how people see me? And even if someone thinks you're kooky now, they may come around, right? You have to put a stake in the ground and just show up how you really intend to and let them change their own behaviors and thinking and mind and neurons and all those things.
Yeah, I love how you reminded people that very often they actually come around, they join you. I don't know about you, I went through this back when I was running marathons a lot, and I was, you know, I was kind of young and I was living in New York City, and it was very common to stay out really late and get wasted on the weekends. And very often I was like, oh, I have to go home at 10 o'clock because I had to get up at, you know, 5, 6 a.m. for a 22-mile run. And my friends at the time made fun of me. It was not accepted. It was weird. You know, it was like, what the hell are you doing that for? And it was the same thing with psychedelics and the same thing with ayahuasca. And it's the same thing with Burning Man. I could go on and on. But majority of those people that gave me shit for running marathons, they actually ended up taking up running themselves, you know? And it's even my own brother, who's recently took up running a couple years ago, he's made a joke about, well, maybe one day I'll start to meditate too, because I'm also the weird one that goes on meditation retreats, which now we're seeing is not weird anymore. It's like super mainstream, as is psychedelics and as are all these other things that are coming down the pipeline, you know, UFOs, who knows what's going to happen there. but Derek, let's talk about one more thing. I'm curious to learn a little bit more about your five levels of abundance, because I know this audience, it's always been a really interesting topic. I did a whole, I was on someone else's podcast where we spoke about abundance and sacred plant medicine for like 2.5 hours. Because there's a lot of people on the spiritual path who struggle with abundance, whether it's feeling like abundance is bad or psychedelics should be totally free, or how could you mix business and psychedelics together, or whatever these beliefs are around, you know, people with money are bad. So, or people who are starting out their business in the fear of like the security of like, how am I going to make money off of this? Or is the money ever going to come? I'm curious, what is it that you teach around the five levels of abundance?
Well, the first thing is that we've been, again, indoctrinated into a capitalist system where money is this primary focus. And the messaging is like, you have to get money. Like, it's, you know, there's all this debt creation and manipulation of the economy and all these things. So money is just so messy. But money is... when you focus on money, you're losing access to most of your abundance because it narrows your focus. So let's say money is 20% of your possibility of abundance. Mm-hmm. So that's where people get it wrong, is thinking that money is true abundance. But mm-hmm. if we define abundance as doing what you need when you need to do it, or doing what you want when you want to, then there's many ways to facilitate that. And those five levels include money, but they also include, and these are things that I love because you can train them, they include luck. If you know how to manufacture good luck and capitalize on it, that's just as valuable, right? If you stumble upon the right opportunity that you thought you had to buy your way into, then, you know, all these things, like, so whatever it is you're creating, like, you could have somebody just give you what you need, right? You have to be open to receiving that. So if you're looking to buy a house or a car or get a new client or whatever, like, somebody could just give you the thing. You don't have to go and buy it. Mm-hmm. And so there's giving and receiving. And then so bartering and trading services and goods outside of a monetary system. I mean, think about tribal humans before money was invented. They still had commerce. So that's an innate part of our being, is being able to just trade with people and, you know, putting value into your community and being able to accept and receive value back out of your community. And all of these things, all the different levels of abundance are facilitated by relationships. So above the five levels of abundance is you need to build a world-class network. You need to have diversity in people in your network. You need people to call you back, right? You want a responsive network. You want a deep network. Like, say you have a medical problem, right? It would be great to have three doctors to give you good advice instead of just one, or three business coaches to give you advice instead of just one. So, you know, within your network, having broad and deep and robust and putting energy into these relationships will give you access to all the different things. They'll give you access to money, opportunity, luck, exchange, barter, anything you want for abundance. And so a lot of times I'm training people to think like, how if a bunch of people just recommended my services and all the clients I ever needed came to me, well, who would those people be that would do the recommending? Who would that, you know, is it influencers? Is it people in my industry? Is it peers? Like, who could be saying like, everybody, you should check out Beth. You should hire Beth. Mm. She's the best. And imagine if I was a new entrepreneur and 10 people said, you got to hire Beth. Then I would just go and hire Beth, right? Mm-hmm. So thinking about these different levels of abundance, change your definition away from money into doing what you need to do when you need to do it, and work on the relationships and building a world-class network that'll give you access to the mixture, right? It can be a mix. It can be some money. It can be some luck. So that's what I teach.
That's beautiful. I know. I love this because I'm constantly saying that to me in my personal life, the most abundance that I get from having my own business and living life on my own terms is just the freedom, like to actually do what I want, when I want, how I want, you know, like living by my own rules and not being kind of a slave to someone else's rules. So that the money is like, you know, it's exactly what Derek just said. And as one of our coaches and Derek's former coach says, money comes from the universe. It's not from working. And this is where I'm constantly seeing inside of my programs, and I'm sure you see this too, is someone might have the intention of like, okay, I'm here to build this kind of business. This is what it looks like. These are the clients I want. But then something else powerful, even more powerful happens. You know, I've had clients get like manifest other totally random things that have nothing to do with their business, but it's all related to how they're showing up in the world and how they're approaching life from the heart all of a sudden. So I've had people manifest their dream home or fall madly in love with the man of their dreams, or you know, even get jobs that are like coaching within, you know, like within an office environment where they didn't think it would look like this, but then they now have a, you know, a job with a salary, but they get to do whatever they want with it, you know? So I've seen everything, and I love that you say relationships are part of this abundance. You know, having the network, having connections. And I do agree. It's such an important thing. You know, like even me and Derek, it's like, how many times have we collaborated and helped each other and been part of the same network, you know? And it's like, I've referred people to him, and it is about more than just the money. It's just so interesting that you say this, because I know this is the one thing that people, especially newer entrepreneurs, really come to their new business with this, like money is always the first on their mind. And it's like, wait, if you actually shift into this place of I'm sure you've seen this too. The less I care about the money, the more the money actually comes. Like I'm kind of at that point where I'm like, oh, the money's great, but it's totally not at all why I'm doing what I'm doing or why I do anything, you know?
I did an experiment around money.
Tell us. Awesome.
Which was that I completely ignored it. I set a very strong intention at the beginning of, this was a couple of years ago, the beginning of the month. And then I didn't look at anything related to money for the entire month. And business continued as normal. People were, you know, automated paying me and things like that. But in addition, we had a streak of 17 straight days where money showed up out of nowhere. Was all kinds of crazy things, like in Monopoly, you know how you draw the chance card and it says you won like $10 in a beauty contest?
Yeah.
It was stuff like that. It was like bank error in your favor. Here's $3. But then there was this other thing that was like, you know, here's $13,000 randomly, or a client got a dream that they should hire me, and they called, and you know, it was like $10,000, and it was like, so I think we made an extra, you know, $30,000 from explicitly ignoring money.
Yeah, and not worrying and not thinking about where it's coming from. Totally, I've seen this happen so much. And this is where, you know, this can really affect your business as well. I mean, I, like Derek probably teaches sales. I teach sales to my clients. And I'm constantly saying, when you show up to that conversation with a potential client from this place of need, like the neediness or the need of money or the need, I need to have you as a client, or I need to make this certain amount to pay my bills, they feel energy, especially the kind of people that we both work with, right? Or the kind of people our clients work with. I think that people are more and more sensitive to energy and they can feel that wanting. And it's like, okay, if you're about to sign up with someone and all you feel is that they want your money, that energy doesn't vibe. And that's where people are like, something's off about this. Let me go look for a different coach. So I love that you bring this up. It's so important to talk about, especially with the newer entrepreneurs who are watching and listening to this. Derek, before we go, I would like to ask you about, I know you have like a million books in the works. I can't even keep up with the amount of books you have.
Sorry.
I'm in one of Derek's best-selling books. I was so honored to be a part of it. Yeah, but tell people what is next when it comes to the next book that you're launching and when it's coming out, and then what else is coming up for you in the pipeline?
Yeah, I've got a solo book and a volume 3 of Activate Your Life. Activate Your Life is this series that I put together. It's with coaches and healers and spiritual teachers and people listening to the show probably. And it's exercises and training techniques that people have developed. And I have a lot of friends that are coaches and I wanted to get their work out into the world. And this series has surprised me in that it's read all around the world. We've sold 16,000 copies, way more than the books I've written by myself. And they're like a manual of learning all kinds of these techniques, including stuff that we're, I'm teaching people the unified field manifestation in this next one. So that's a really cool project that we still have a few spots. I'm not sure when this airs, but we do have a few spots left for that. And then my solo book is kind of some of the stuff we've talked about today, like how my identity has shifted from scientist to adventurer to digital nomad coach, spiritual explorer. Mm. And what a lot of, so it's in a way a book about ego death and how part of us dies and the new part of us is born, and what that means for how we move through the world. And, other leaders have gone through this, but the whole world is really going through this collective ego death. And so how do we recreate ourselves moving forward? How do we create the experience that we want, the social and business structures that we want? So that's a very exciting book because I'm doing a lot of, this grounded research to back up my own journey.
That's my ego death is my favorite subject. And yes, we are definitely in a collective ayahuasca ceremony / ego death / mega, mega hero dose of mushrooms together as a society, as a planet. It's never ending. It seems like, oh my God, this is the perfect time for you to come out with that book. I cannot wait to hear more about it. Don't wait on it too long, Derek. And then tell people, where can they find you and find out more about what you offer and what's coming up for you in 2021 and even next year?
Yeah. So DerekLoudermilk.com. We're launching our mastermind in the fall. So keep an eye out for, October, November timeline. And the podcast, my show is the Derek Loudermilk Show. You mentioned that in the beginning. We're finding these cutting edge practitioners, and a lot of times I will do a session with them, or if it's a scientist, I'll read their research. So we have a very in-depth conversation about, so you can come on and understand exactly what is electric universe theory, how the human biofield works. You can come on and learn exactly how hypnosis actually works and how you can use it in your own life, all these things. So, you can listen to the show on normal podcast places. We have little clips on YouTube. So it should blow your mind. It's designed to crack open your thinking.
Of course, Derek would be cracking open our thinking. Derek is nothing but magic. I cannot thank you enough for being on here. Just on a personal note, thank you for what you contributed to me and my journey as we were in that mastermind together a few years ago. Because I remember, I think you were sitting at a table with me when I finally had that moment of like, okay, all these people around me think I should come out of the closet and talk about psychedelics, maybe it's going to be okay. And I remember Derek was there, and that's when I was like, okay, there's all these amazing people who I trust who are saying great things. Maybe I'm not going to die by putting myself out there and speaking my truth. And here I am, definitely living in, and it feels so much more freeing when you're really living in alignment with your soul and speaking your truth and doing what you love, which is available to all of you. So thank you, Derek.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Beth. And I just thinking about, you know, my experience of that situation where it's like, you're like scared. Should I do this? And we're all like, yeah, we want to hear about that. Like, I think that would be really fun. Like we, you know, we all actually wanted this thing. And so it's interesting to think, you know, what the other people in the room are actually experiencing, but.
So interesting.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Derek. Yeah. Thank you for being here. And we will have another episode next Tuesday, and we will have all of Derek's links in the show notes. Be sure to reach out to him, follow him on Instagram and all the social medias. Thank you so much. And we'll see you soon. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you're feeling inspired, I'd appreciate it if you showed your love with a review. And check out my YouTube channel where you can find the video version of this podcast. You can also head to bethaweinstein.com to learn more about me and grab my free business growth trainings. Remember, you carry your own unique medicine, and your medicine is what we need for these times.